Yeah, this. Oh no, I'm sorry. It just doesn't work for me. You know.
Yeah.
The like, you know.
I mean, it isn't. It's not bad.
I feel like I'm watching an episode of Dawson's Creek, which I don't need to be doing.
It does actually.
You know, it's just
Dawson's Creek.
90210.
And that's only based on seeing
one or two episodes.
No, not even that. Like commercials for Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, I know. Well, but this actually, I like this.
Yeah, this scene is really good.
I feel like this was a lot like the day I came home from graduation. It's just like, okay, now what? But anyway,
I think
all of this feeling, but all right.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of this stuff from here on out with Peter and Aunt May really works.
Yeah,
well.
It does.
I mean,
to a degree,
yeah.
It does.
Yeah, maybe they got more into the roles. As the movie filming went on, because we don't know what order it was filmed in. But
no, we don't.
But that's at least the way it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire is really good here.
All right.
He's, again, this is another scene that had to grow on me the more I watched the movie, but, because I felt like, well, okay, are we just showing off that Tobey Maguire can cry in cue, or is Tobey Maguire really doing a great job here? That's honestly how I felt.
Feel that?
The first time I saw that, I was like, are we just showing off the fact that Tobey Maguire can cry on cue?
You're a very cynical man.
I am.
Yeah.
But
I think it's all due to the t-shirt at the beginning of the movie.
I know.
It all goes back to...
Don't get me started! Get me started on the teacher. I'm sorry. Because I'm just going to go off about him, and then we're going to start a flash.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
No, again, the scene had to grow on me. It just felt like, well, are we just showing off that Tobey Maguire can cry, or are we really expressing his talents as an actor? And slowly but surely, the scene grew on me.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the better scripted scenes.
But it's another scene that you have to have in a comic book movie. Like the pivotal moment where the character realizes his destiny of, and the person he's doing it for. Obviously, he's going to be doing this superhero thing for Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
But you have to have the scene. And again, it feels a little forced, but this is some more great Danny Elfman.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's more of the same great Danny Elfman
music
that we've heard before, but
and here's that line that that kind of grows on me as well. I think it's right out of the comic book, if I'm not mistaken. I'm acting like I know everything about the comic book, and I'm the one who's providing all the information about the comic book, but I don't know everything, obviously. But I think that line is right out of the comic book. And I like the little transition there. One of my more favorite transitions is him going through the spider symbol and like into the swinging through the city streets. I think that is neat. Mm-hmm.
I actually kind of like this.
Yeah, this is a fun little montage here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could have not worked, but I think it worked.
It works well enough.
Yeah,
I think that's a little bit of an homage to the trailer when those guys got stuck in between the web and
the World Trade
Center, which obviously had to be removed from theaters.
I really wish they had put that preview back in the DVD.
I
can understand taking them out of the movie. But, I mean, I would have at least liked to have seen the
preview. Yeah, because it was a pretty neat trailer. It got me excited about the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
I mean...
Courtesy of your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's Lucy Lawless right there, by the way. Xena Warrior Princess.
Which Sam Raimi produced, or executive produced.
I got to throw back to the song.
Yeah. Which you hear at the end of the...
Yeah, I like to hear that at the end credits. But anyway, that's right out of the trailer.
Yeah.
Right out of the trailer. Now this guy,
here we go.
J.K. Simmons as
okay, let me just say that I do really like him and I do think his part works, Brian.
I do too.
Now Brian,
I absolutely love him.
We saved
him.
5 or 6 hours just for you.
But
this is a really funny scene.
For some reason, I think it's too much of a
bam, hilarious. That was hilarious.
I think
he's got great lines.
I think it's,
it's such a throwaway line where it's like, I don't like that. Whichever one's cheap.
You know, it's That's Sam Raimi. That's Sam Raimi's brother. Yeah. Right there, yeah.
I think it's Ivan.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, he's funny, but you know, he's only funny for so long with me. I mean, I'm glad. I think it was smart to only use him in two or three scenes. I think he's only in about three scenes.
Yeah.
I think that was smart enough. I think it was smart in that they didn't overuse the character, because he's entertaining to a point. I just think I liked Perry White a lot, you know, because you know it's some sort of it's parallel to Perry White, I think, and it's a little bit too parallel, I think, to Perry White from Superman. I think that's
was that Julie Roberts and Thong line just happening right there.
I had a real problem with that line too.
And I do feel you there.
It helps. It doesn't help to make the movie timeless. That's my problem with that one particular line. Another really small part of the movie that really didn't help keep the movie timeless. I don't think we can get Julie Roberts and Thong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just
said something else there.
He could have very well easily have said something else. So yeah. I don't know. I don't feel sorry for Mary Jane, which I want to.
Admittedly, this scene is not my favorite.
I'm just poor me, look at me. I'm just a poor little waitress. And
I think her acting would have been better if her part had actually worked.
Yeah.
If there's a part of the scripted.
I mean, again, she looks the part so beautifully. I mean, she fits the description of the character from the comic book beautifully. But, you know, this wasn't a role for her, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, it all goes back to script.
It does.
All goes
very
back
much
to
so.
Script. Right now I'm trying to see what I wrote about this first time I...
But anyway, this scene was supposed to be one of the first romantic scenes, I think, and I just didn't feel it. I wasn't there with the characters. I wasn't feeling the romance, the potential romance that could be starting off right here.
I did feel it when the second time they meet up, when she says, you know, this.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, I just feel that one there.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, but that's meant to be. This is meant to be romance. It doesn't work.
It doesn't. No, it's meant to be, you know, romantic comedy, which, you know, or, well, romance anyway. But anyway, this is a neat loft, by the way.
Yeah, very nice loft.
Yeah,
loft. I don't even know how much that would even cost.
Well, you know, it's ridiculous. Yeah, well, you know who's paying for it.
Yeah.
But,
it's not them.
Right. But,
where is my Spider-Man review?
Brian, why can't you be more prepared? These kinds of
I'm
things,
sorry.
You know?
Well, I was prepared to do E.T. last week.
Yeah,
and
well, okay. Well, we'll get to that when we get to that. But, We'll get to that.
Yeah, you wanted to do E.T., then you decided, no, let's go and do Back to the Future 2.
Okay. What were you gonna say now, Brian? Now that we've lost everyone's interest.
Sorry, I was trying to remind myself of what I said about.
You wrote a lot about that, but I remember reading that review. Brian's actually a really good movie critic. He sends everyone reviews every week because he works in the movie theater and he gets to see them for free. And Brian's actually quite brilliant. Movie critic, and what were you going to say? You were going to quote your original review from May of 2002.
Yeah, I was basically going back to try to see what I wrote about the script. I said it was well scripted and covered all the bases, and I don't know if I necessarily feel like that's the truth now. I mean, I don't completely disagree with it, because I think it does present the origin story pretty
well. This image
is
right out of
the
comic book. I think the camera being in the spider webs, I think that's originally how Peter Parker set it up in the comic book.
And you can see him grandstanding and all that stuff. But it's like, you know, he's having fun with it because he knows he can make some money off of this.
Jeez.
That's a bit too much.
The look. Saluting.
Yeah, exactly.
Too much.
Well, see, that's right out of Batman, though. You know, just, I think the character is funny. But, like, you know, there's just too much. He just parallels way too much with a lot of other comic book movie characters, I think. He just parallels.
I think he tried to make himself distinct.
He does, but, you know, again, it's the script, I think.
Through the acting, he tried to.
It's another Willem Dafoe thing. It's like, through, you know, he did what he could with the script that he had.
Right.
You know, how much can you do exactly with a line like, if we can get Julia Roberts in the thong, we can get this clown in, you know. How much can you do with a line like that? So, I mean, so,
this is good stuff right here, then.
Yeah.
Newspaper selling clown. Never said he had a job.
I'll send you a box of meat. Christmas meat. Now, I think in the comic book, this secretary here plays a little bit of a love triangle-ish role. And I think eventually... She's very pretty. This is a very beautiful actress here also, that's another little side story from the comic book is that he actually, I didn't catch her name. I don't remember it. I don't remember the character's name anyway. But I think that's a little side note from the comic book is that Peter eventually falls for this secretary from the Daily Bugle as well. But, again, don't quote me on that. I'm no comic book expert.
Mm-hmm.
This scene is a little...
One of those scenes where it's like... I mean, if you really see that, admittedly, the Norman Osborn story really just...
Takes a dive.
Doesn't work.
Exactly.
It is kind of a nosedive.
It kind of makes you just...
You feel nothing for this character because
you know
he's going to be the bad guy.
Right.
I mean,
well, it's not necessarily that because, I mean, you know, to a degree, you want to feel sorry for the bad guy.
Yeah.
You want to know his motivation. You want to feel his motivation anyway. And I just, again.
But, I mean, these, like, even the short lines that all these guys have are well acted.
Mm-hmm.
But just. I mean, those looks right there, well acted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if the scene worked, if the script had flowed, if something had worked, this would have actually been a good scene. But no, you just don't feel it. You don't feel it in the context of the movie. You just don't feel it.
Yeah. I guess you're supposed to feel his overwhelmness,
mm-hmm.
his overwhelming, but, you know, and you want to understand.
Even the music's trying to make it work.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah. And Elfman could make it work exceptionally well. That was a great little bit of stuff there.
What the hell is Macy Gray doing here?
I mean, people in the theater were just snickering left and right.
It makes all this. The only reason she's there is to sell soundtracks. I mean, that's the only reason she's there. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, everybody's already heard this song, so she's not going to be selling any more soundtracks.
I mean, you know, Tim Burton.
Everybody's already tired of her at this point. Sorry.
You know, Tim Burton had to have Prince in the soundtrack, but you know, and he had to have Prince music. He had to have Prince songs in the movie.
Right.
But at least he had the decency to keep them. Like out of some sort of cameo.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I mean, and I thought that worked well.
Yeah. The Prince music.
He rolled that off.
The Prince music does work well in the original Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, but one of the main reasons is because you know you don't see Prince walk on in a cameo or something
Thank
like that.
Thank you. My goodness. Yeah. Admittedly, it's like.
Yeah, I mean, Macy Gray. I mean, just you know, we like your music and everything, but like you're ever gonna listen to this, but.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting music, nonetheless. I don't listen to it all, but, I mean...
That was an interesting scene there, too.
Yeah, it was a
she's
nice
not really in love.
She
exactly.
Away, from, like,
the only,
woman.
Yeah,
Sweet.
Just a little... She's on
well,
the rebound.
Not to sound sexist.
Oh.
But...
Sorry. Did I say that out loud? So
yeah, you did. Say that out loud.
No, but, you know, she's... The spider sense sound effect.
Sense.
I love that sound effect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It goes really well with Elfman's score.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I'm wondering if Elfman came up with that or if that was a sound design.
I don't know.
Thing.
It could go either way there.
Because, you know, Elfman is very experimental in his music. So, I mean, that could have...
The appearance of the bad guy.
Over Times Square.
And I know they got a lot... The filmmakers got into a lot of trouble for changing the signs in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
Straight from Batman, right? Here.
Yeah.
During the party.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's our glider.
Straight from Batman. This is like a combination of Batman and Superman.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, without question.
This whole sequence. Without those two movies, this would be a totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful score. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But
I mean, you know, the fight scenes in those two other movies are times when at least the first scenes, these sequences that they copied off of are like times when the music is the best.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You really want the theme to kick in there. You want to get a chill up your spine from having the theme kick in, and you want to feel really empowered by what's going on. You want to be excited. There's Stan Lee.
Stan Lee, yeah.
His little cameo. I think he has a cameo in Daredevil.
Yes,
as well.
He does.
But that works. That's a neat little superhero moment.
Yeah. This action sequence is pretty good, I think.
I mean,
for the most part. Yeah, I mean, it's not spectacular.
No,
I think this is
Superman. Sorry.
Superman. Superman and Batman, left and right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A
I mean,
bit
this
of Planet of the Apes score too.
This killing of the
this
the
was
executives,
wicked.
I mean, that was
that
cool,
was,
but
wicked.
you didn't really feel it though. Mm. I mean, you didn't really feel bad about him killing the executives. I mean, you didn't really feel anything. It was just one of the killings.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that could have been a background.
Spider-Man. I like that. That's cheesy, but it works. You know, like, hey, look, it's Spider-Man.
It's cartoony.
It is, but. And this kid is...
This kid is an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm
really
sorry
stupid.
To say
it.
The
I mean, they didn't
kid
even
is
make
an
it
idiot.
Work. This kid
now,
is stupid.
Now, any intelligent child, I
my
would
baby.
Would just be yanked out of the way.
That's a neat shot, though. That's
yeah,
a
yeah, I mean, that's
you have
a sweet
to have
shot.
Say, oh, it's a great
that's
shot.
That's a money shot. That's what we call the money shot.
Now, well,
yeah.
No, there's
I'll let you guys take this one.
This gets a little stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Goblin costume, admittedly, I never had a huge problem with it when I saw it in the theater.
I do have a problem with the fact that he's
I
not...
Do have the, I will say I do have a problem with the fact that you can see his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It really destroys any illusion of
I had a problem with the fact that it was a masked period. I wanted to see the real Goblin like it is in the comic book. You know, like the fact... I know I'm going to go back to Batman here. I know you guys are probably sick of me comparing this to other comic book movies, but... You know,
because we've been doing it.
You get to see. I mean, the thing is, it was just handled. You know, because the Joker is disfigured,
mm-hmm.
and that's obviously in the comic book. You know, with the Green Goblin. The Green Goblin is disfigured, but
right.
You know, you don't. I just wanted to see that happen. I wanted to see him. I think that would have made him more. I think that would have made the character more believable if you got to see a more disfigured. I think, but you guys know what I'm saying. But I just had a problem with there being like a mask. Period. I think they could have been a little bit more creative with that.
Yeah.
I think, admittedly,
with that scene where he shoots the web into his face, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
They would be affected
mm-hmm.
terribly by
line.
It.
We'll see you against Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll see you against Spider-Man.
No, I wouldn't say that was the money shot back there. I think the money shot.
I would say this is a rip off from
Superman shot. Right
I mean,
there,
yeah.
That is.
Come on, let's be honest.
This is kind of neat though.
Yeah,
this is
nice.
A little bit of a payoff to like the scene that you had to sit through just now.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you well. Okay, am I back feeling?
And the music and just. The way this is animated really kind of makes this scene work right here.
Mm-hmm.
There's some wonderful cinematography here from Don Burgess, best
yeah.
known for Forrest
yeah.
Gump.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is good
and,
stuff.
anything beats taking the subway.
a friend. Sorry. I had to.
You know who I am, lady. Come on.
No, I'm just saying, though, but who are you? That's right out of,
yeah.
right out of Superman.
Right.
I was basically the whole time I'm waiting for them to say when they're swinging through the buildings for the first time. I'm waiting for them to say, "You've got me. Who's got you?" Anyway,
yeah,
I want to know.
I think this was kind of a funny scene.
This
I
is a funny
kind of
scene.
It's cute.
Jane Franco.
I want to know why if he got stitches, why isn't his head shaved in that particular area? You know, I don't. For some reason, I noticed that. But
maybe he wouldn't let him shave his head for the sake of.
Well, you
I
know,
mean, I could.
I mean, it's just more pretty boy.
Know.
It's just
I mean,
more, you know. Hey, look, I'm a.
You don't say that. Hands are still ugly.
Well, you. I only say that because you know I can feel for the guy. I mean, because you know I'm just as pretty as he is. But.
Right.
Well. Yeah, I like the don't let the bed bug click.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was nice. That was beautiful.
That is true. Why didn't they shave his head?
And they tries to explain it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
That was
she's a little rattled right now. Yeah, James Franco.
He does have a good point here that Peter never did make a movie.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel, you know, this is like this. I could very well see myself having this a similar conversation with one of my best friends who, you know, made a move on a girl before I did. So, you know,
and that would be an awkward conversation.
It would
be, and
they capture that pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty well. I mean, you've got two very good actors here.
You do. These are probably without question my favorite two characters from the whole movie. So,
again,
okay.
More beautiful New York images.
Here we go with the
mirror. Brian, I'll let you take this one.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, it's not yet, though, is it?
No, it's
coming up.
This is the one with the mirror?
Yeah, this is the one with
the mirror.
This is the better one.
Okay, this is the one with the mirror.
This is the better one. I thought I absolutely loved this scene when I first saw it. I thought it was really great. Way to show the duality of the character.
No one else feels like this is over the top. No one else feels like this is over the top.
This is not quite as over the top as the other one, but it's
That's some great Danny Elfman percussion right there.
Right.
Yeah,
which he's a big percussionist.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell this is good acting.
This is very good acting.
He's making it. He's trying to make it work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, after I saw Two Towers. With the scenes with Gollum and Smeagol arguing.
Yeah.
This was less and less impressive.
Right.
But it's still pretty good.
Good point.
It's still very good the way Raimi edits it and the way Willem Dafoe plays it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish they had done it a little differently to where it's like it wasn't completely clear that you were,
exactly.
He was looking into a mirror, sort of destroys the illusion.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, this stuff I love.
Yeah. That stuff
you know,
good.
This
that
is
good.
Purely, like, the Gollum and Smeagol stuff.
Yeah.
I think you can tell Willem Dafoe stood in front of the mirror for hours, you know, developing this part of the character.
And that shows the talent, you know. I mean,
that's good. You know, not to knock Dafoe, because he's an excellent actor. Anybody who's ever seen him in any of his better roles, I mean.
Like Speed 2 Cruise Control.
I would go with Last Temptation of Christ or Shadow of the Vampire before that, but anyway, way before that.
Mm-hmm. That's creepy right there.
That is psychotic.
I think this is the last scene with Mr. Jameson, which I'm kind of, again, I think this character is fun, but, you know, he's just not timeless.
That
he's not,
hilarious. Yeah.
What a great movie!
It's a libel.
Again, you know, I think the character is fun. I think the character of Mr. Jameson's fun, but you know, again, I'm just glad that he's not overused.
Right.
I think it was just.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think
you
were in like 45
minutes of
the movie.
He does not need to be
in
all. He does not need to be. An essential part of the story, like maybe Perry White was in Superman, but again, just too much parallel.
Tough guy.
Some more Spider-Man banter from the comic book.
Yeah. I really don't like that mouth. God, I don't like that mouth part of the mask. It's,
This scene is downright cringeworthy, I think.
Let's see, what did I say about these scenes? I said the dialogue in the confrontation scenes, though delivered with gusto by Dafoe and McGuire, it skirts camp a few too many times. Some trimming will have rectified the situation.
Yeah.
I still feel that way. I feel that way probably more so.
Right.
Because, I mean, Dafoe and McGuire do a very good job, but
mm-hmm.
this is a bit ridiculous.
I like the close-ups on the Spider-Man costume because that is a really great Spider-Man costume.
It's an excellent costume.
You know, you're always worried about how they're going to translate the costume from the comic book into a live action or cinema or movies or whatever. And I think,
pat on the head.
God,
yeah, exactly.
He just like lays back and it's like, oh,
feeling it. It's kind of funny, but
it's
wow.
Funny. It's a little too funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
We're in a dark moment, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no drama. It's just
no, there isn't.
Right.
It's comedic. It's
it's
really
unintentionally
is.
Funny.
Right. And it's just a shame too with Defoe paying so much attention to detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
as he's talking, as he's moving, everything. It's such a shame that has not worked.
But yeah, that costume looks great.
Yeah,
I love that costume. I tried to find the Spider-Man costume for Halloween, but I couldn't. They were all sold out. I wasn't able to be Spider-Man for Halloween, and I was really disappointed about that.
Thank goodness, since you're like what, 25?
Yeah.
24
actually. I think I'm supposed to stop dressing for Halloween around 25, I think. But
okay.
Now
well,
this, guys, let's
that.
Talk about how we can't. I don't see why. You know, this is the second act SAG, obviously, but this is like, where did this come from? Why does everyone start hating Spider-Man?
Yeah.
It didn't flow
smoothly enough for me.
It seems like the Daily Bugle sort of turns into sort of a tabloid.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's just there to provoke. It's
right, but I mean,
it's
but
not
besides,
a real paper.
Because the thing is, okay, now I want to point out the fact that the first headline you see says Spider-Man and Goblin caused trouble or whatever at the Bugle, and the second headline you see is
Citizens Call
for Spider-Man's arrest. And
doesn't
I was like,
make much sense.
Why do the citizens hate Spider-Man now?
I mean,
all of a sudden
stopped helping people.
All of a sudden,
I mean,
out of nowhere,
you know,
everyone hates
really,
Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and I was like,
make any sense.
Why?
Now, before we let this scene go, I think this is a good scene.
This is a very good scene. This is probably one of the better.
Still, I'm not feeling the chemistry. I keep saying.
Not in this part.
Not this
part.
As it flows down to the end of this scene.
I mean,
I think it works.
Well,
I think her eyes work right there.
Oh gosh, she looks so pretty here.
Right there.
She looks so pretty right there.
Yeah, and it seems like.
Oh my goodness. I mean, my
this type of exchange. Is what she acts best with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She looks so pretty there.
Gosh, that's good stuff.
I mean.
Yeah, it's great.
I wish I was Peter Parker right now. Anyway. But no, this is the first time she calls him Tiger, which is right out of the comic books, obviously.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. Delivered great, too.
Right. It works. But, I mean, still at the same time, she looks the part more than she ever. I don't think she was able to get into the character as well as she could have.
I can buy that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can buy that, you know.
But this is like, you know, this scene feels a little like, you know, well, we need to get her in trouble. So how are we going to do that?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't feel like, you know, it was.
Yeah. Well, it's leading up to one of the great movie
pieces
of all time.
It really is. I mean,
you know, but I like the fact that she does. You know, at the beginning here, at least she takes care of herself.
She
takes care of herself.
This is neat, right? I love this. I love this image, right? This is
fun. That's
sweet. That is sweet.
That's an even better shot. But, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's
looks,
good stuff.
Yeah, I like how you see the mask is off, but you don't see his face.
It looks really cool in the rain.
Except in the close-ups. But, yeah, it does look really good in the rain.
Yeah.
Almost looks like a bar fight.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
Well,
I was actually giving the movie a compliment.
At least some of the
Brian.
Moves sort of look like a bar fight.
A bar fight.
I wasn't putting down the fight.
A bar
a
fight in
fight
the Matrix,
fight.
Maybe.
But then it goes down.
This is right out of the comic. This is just beautiful right here.
I actually like
the dialogue here. I think the dialogue works.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The dialogue is very, you know, it's not.
Girl Stalker was a little cheesy, but okay.
No, I think the thing is, that's one of the few lines that's a more of the times that I actually agreed with. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of you know, like the whole Julia Roberts and the thong thing that was supposed to be a line that.
Let's
you know,
try to stop harping on that. I mean, that's, you know, we admit that it's a mistake.
But I like the superhero stalker line for some reason. You know, that's
Now this.
Yeah.
Is it beautiful? It really is a classic scene.
That is right out of the comic book, by the way. That is
the Upside Down kiss. I think that was one of them.
Yeah, but no, this is really.
Obviously, Toby has this is the, my boy. Nice.
Actually, this is supposedly really difficult.
Very hard to do because of the fact that he was upside down.
I mean, who cares? Kirsten looks gorgeous right
now.
Yeah. She. But anyway, no. Supposedly, this is really hard, especially for Toby. But
we're almost rolling. But here, what was that? How did that happen? I mean, why did that happen?
Yeah,
I mean,
you the whole scene was slow mo. You didn't need the slow mo of her going.
Gosh, that was just hideous. That didn't even happen.
And again, more another extremely weak scene, I think, right there. I mean, you know,
well, some of the moves are all right.
It's supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be suspenseful, but
this is sort of melodramatic.
Exactly. Oh,
really,
absolutely, without question.
It's like,
one of the more melodramatic moments in the movie. One of the absolutely just
why
you're not.
You really
that's
need
a sweet
this
singing.
Scene.
It's a swinging scene right there, though. That was pretty.
Yeah.
Some,
it is.
Well, the animation, all the animation is really beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, you know. Okay.
Is that his mustache or is that smoke or soot?
That's his mustache.
I think that's soot.
That's soot. But,
I just
know, but notice how like, notice how the firemen walk out of here covered in dirt and everything, and Spider-Man and the baby come out of there, and you're just like, were they even in a fire? You know?
Oh, of course. Wait, Spider-Man.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
I mean,
look at the blanket.
Point.
You know, you're like.
Well, I mean, you've got a point.
You know, I'm just like. Yeah. Again, I'm just not feeling it. Yeah, exactly. Why is Spider-Man wanted by the police?
Well, I mean, again, apparently he
by
assaulted
now he is.
Jamerson, and
mm-hmm.
it's like that's.
Well, I mean, but that's the only reason. Though. I mean, like,
yeah.
And what did he do exactly?
Yeah, what did he do?
Besides,
again, some more sweet moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a cool idea.
This looks, but
this would have been a really cool action scene.
But it feels
like,
totally out of place. It is not the same kind of style of action as the rest of the movie, I don't think.
And it does seem
it's
sort of an excuse to have the gratuitous cliche of an action sequence where it's like you have a scene with the shot
didn't
with
that?
The hero
right.
with
see
a
that coming
wall
a mile away,
of
by
flame
the way. Yeah.
behind him. I
the
mean,
thing
you
is,
look
I mean,
at 90% of the action movies, you have at least one scene with that.
But this is not in the same style as the rest of the action is in the movie, I don't think. I, that was another I think this looks neat.
Right.
This
yeah.
looks interesting, but the look of the scene is really neat. But other than that, I'm like, you know,
mm-hmm.
well, this is really out of place. I think. Yeah, this is all more really great animation.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, this. I guess maybe that was supposed to show off a Spidey sense again, but we were already introduced to that. We've already seen that a couple of times. We didn't even get the Spidey sense sound happening.
Uh-huh.
We just saw cool animation, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm just like. Yeah,
that's
like,
a sweet move.
That like yeah, anytime that he uses his web, I get a little bit of a buzz out.
Getting him on the web and then kicking him.
That's always neat to see him use his web in new and interesting ways that we might not have seen in the.
That was a bit
comic.
Yeah, more of the more hideous transitions, which is saying.
Yeah,
some decent transitions.
There are some.
Yeah. There are some good transitions.
And then there are some really
that's
painful, hideous transitions. You know, just. And
I like, sort of like Willem Dafoe here. I mean, he's not bad.
Well, the thing, I mean, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But.
Speaking of fruitcake.
Yeah, now, what was it, Dave, what is this, the scene where he looks her up and down?
Yeah.
That's a little over the top for my taste.
That
I
mean, I guess
when you're done with my son, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So
just don't
see me.
Yeah,
but it's almost too dark. I mean, because like he just had a really fun and bright action sequence,
right.
And now you're just going, you're delving into
how
the. How are you doing? But you just had a really fun and bright action sequence, and then you know,
mm-hmm.
I just you
this
know,
is nice. Yeah.
That's neat.
always love
but the,
these
but
shots.
One of my biggest problems with the movie is the fact that the lightness and the dark is not all that well balanced, I don't feel.
Right. Yeah.
The lightness and the dark is not, you don't feel a good balance between the two.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been done a lot better in other movies, you know. Mm-hmm. That's right out of, what is that? Not Mission Impossible.
The Firm, too.
Actually, yeah.
Basically, one or two.
I like this because that's because the reason you don't hear him crawling across the wall,
yeah,
because he's a spider.
Right.
I like that. And this is neat.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, nearly escaped that one. You sure change clothes fast.
Yeah.
That wasn't funny.
Yeah, Andrew Parker's having no humor in there. Finds no humor in that.
Sort of the awkwardness that he's already said.
Yeah. You feel that to a degree.
You're a dead woman.
I thought that was good, though. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
it's sinister,
plenty
way
creepy, but my, another.
I mean, that worked better than looking
her
up Jane
and,
yeah,
up and down.
It does, you know. But the thing is, I mean, plenty of creepiness in the Green Goblin Harry Osborn character, but not enough charm, which
mm-hmm.
I really had a problem with. There wasn't nearly as much charm as I thought there could have been with the character. I think you know, even Jack Nicholson played Jack Napier in The Joker. With a lot of charm, you know. And, I mean,
yeah.
I didn't think there was
Jack for crying.
But I didn't think there was. There could have been a little bit. There could have been more charm with Willem Dafoe's performance, which there wasn't, you know. And I think that was what was meant to be pulled off, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, admittedly, yeah. I mean, you're supposed to be somewhat like. He's supposed to be somewhat likable. I mean,
or charming.
By the way,
I'm not.
By the way, or at least you're supposed to sympathize with him to a certain extent based on the way his arc is developed. But I mean, it doesn't really work.
The best words of the movie are about to come up.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a beautiful exchange right here. It's meant to be terrible, but it's pretty hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing.
This girl's important to me, Dad.
Look at her. And showing them hearing it. Beautiful.
Yeah,
I think this is a little too Dawson's Creek for me. I think this is a little bit.
I don't know if it's
Dawson's
Creek.
Yeah, yeah. I
think it's
Dawson's Creek couldn't be this because this was too dark.
Yeah,
know?
I.
You know?
Dawson's Creek is too soap opera.
I thought this was soap opera right here. I really did.
Well, I mean, it is, but
yeah, it is. But it's got that edge to it that makes.
Yeah,
it, you know,
I didn't feel the edge. I wasn't, you know. But I mean,
that's
just
your thing about Julia Roberts. And
that's
Dawn.
Just well, basically. I mean, you got me there. But yeah, thanks for.
Tell Mamp May.
Delivered beautifully, though.
Yeah.
I like Toby Maguire's face.
Here's the ridiculous one.
Oh, my gosh.
How can this
the symbolism in here is not lost on
I'll
any
I'll let you guys take this one. Thank you very much.
There's nothing to say other than the fact that it's just hideous.
Why?
I mean, why? He's talking to a mask on a chair.
Why not bring the mirror back? You know?
Yeah, bring the mirror back.
I think they tried to try to make a difference.
Looking
the mirror
into the fire and going as if he's listening to his, or as
I
if
mean,
it's
look,
coming from
look
his
at
head
Defoe on
I
his
mean,
knees. The script sucks so bad.
I mean, he's trying so hard.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, what they tried to do so bad, they tried so hard to make it different from the scene with the mirror. And,
right.
You know, and they. They just couldn't think of anything new or original to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here we go.
This is another one that just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Another very weak.
This is probably the worst scene with Aunt May in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I mean
hers
just
the Rosemary Harris's talent is not being used to its full potential.
Yeah.
Here.
Nobody's.
No. Yeah. No. Neither Rosemary Harris or Willem Dafoe's.
Or Sam Raimi's.
Or Danny Elfman.
We could go over just about every other person who worked on that scene.
Yeah, those eyes, those horrible yellow eyes. That's laughable right there. I'm sorry. That's just downright laughable.
Yeah, it is. Now, she said it a little less subtly.
Good silent movie face acting by Toby, right?
Yeah.
Really just quite excellent. More talking with the eyes, more. Because he has that wide-eyed look that helps his performance, but it doesn't help the rest of the movie. I like this little camera move, though. I like the showing his back and then showing the picture and then going back to. I think this is a neat camera move.
Well, Sam Raimi is one of the best there is when it comes to cameras, I think, or at least
and camera angles.
Modern filmmaker.
I like that a lot.
Sam Raimi, by the way, I mean, we talked about him a bit earlier. He's done the Evil Dead trilogy. He did Darkman, which was his first one. The Gift, which is highly underrated and underseen.
Mm-hmm.
Simple Plan, which is another very good film that didn't get... Well, it got some crap, but I mean, you know, it's one of those movies that a lot of people didn't really see. It's also done For Love of the Game and Quick and the Dead, neither of which I've seen, but
that's questionable right there.
The baseball scenes.
Yeah. Oh no, the baseball scenes are great.
The
romance is just, you know, it's some of the worst chemistry I've ever seen between two characters that are supposed to be in love. But
Kirsten looked great right there.
Yeah.
I don't think she's as pretty as she is in the rest of the movie.
Take another look at the jeans.
What? she looks like a comic book heroine right here. She does. I'm just not that enthralled by her performance.
This scene flows well enough.
I mean, you know, if it flows.
Well, it's like I said. I mean, I think the chemistry between them gets better as the movie goes along, which I think is sort of intentional.
The only time I ever felt chemistry between these two is obviously the kiss. But I mean, besides that, I mean, I'm just not feeling. You know, I'm not interested. I'm actually, you know, at the end of the movie, I'm interested in seeing what happens to. I want to know what happens to Peter Parker in the next movie and.
Yeah,
obviously, like Mary Jane, I'm like, well, can we have another love? I'd really like to see another love interest in that. We're not going to.
Right.
Well, obviously, Kirsten Dunst has already been signed for The Amazing Spider-Man, but I mean, I just would really, at least a love triangle, some sort of love triangle story for the next movie.
Well, who's the other love interest that was in the books?
I think it was the secretary from the Daily Bugle, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I'm just saying that, like, I'd like to at least see some sort of, because, you know, I'm just not feeling the chemistry. I'm just.
I like Toby's lines here.
They work.
Yeah.
like what you're saying to Spider-Man. About
Exactly. That's
or like, it might have been something.
You know,
like
I was like, well, Spider-Man.
Oh, Gwen Stacy, that was the name. I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. This is kind of. I would get laughed at if I ever said this to a girl, but
I think we all would.
I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I'd get laughed at if I said anything to a girl, but you know, I mean, that's just me.
Getting too much on the mic. But you know, I mean, again,
really
the scene flows, and I mean, the music's not bad.
No. The music's quite beautiful right here.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, Elfman was critiqued for Elfman was criticized for not having much of a theme for the movie, and I think all the themes are very subtle. I think they're more subtle than they were for Batman, obviously, or Men in Black, I think. So I think that's one of the things that one of the problems a lot of people anyway any I think that's one of the problems a lot of movie film music fans had was that, you know, supposedly there wasn't a theme in this movie, but there is actually. If you listen to the score separately from the movie, you ever buy the CD, which is worth buying, if you ever
if you ever give the score another
close listen to, like the next time you watch the movie, because you do start to notice it's very subtle, but there are themes.
People are just used to it being obvious. Look at Batman.
They're looking
at it to be really obvious, but it's not obvious.
But they're looking for over the top. I think Sam Raimi and Danny Elfman collaborate on the fact that it shouldn't have to be over the top for this particular movie, because they want people to be involved with the characters and the story, which unfortunately I wasn't.
Let's talk about the scene for a second. I think this is the
best scene I think Willem and Norman.
Yeah, I was.
This is their best scene. I mean, it really is, because you see that he really does care about Harry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you know, I do feel this scene. This is one of very few scenes I actually do feel some emotional involvement with the characters.
Yeah,
that's a cheap scare. There.
What the hell was that?
That hurts. Yet another cheap scare.
It's one of those subliminal things. You don't need it.
That face right there. Gosh, she's a good actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.